Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Hope that summer is going well for you. Hope you're going to have a great weekend this weekend. Joining me right now, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. I want to talk about something that I am excited about. Always love this. We're doing our Life Recovery Conference in Orange County again. And we want you to come. We would love for you to come. And it's a great chance to either learn about recovery or, you know, get some additional encouragement for recovery. But you have to come. And this year, it's the Life Recovery Conference. It's entitled 12 Steps to Happier, and it's on October the 5th. Now, why would we do a recovery conference entitled 12 Steps to Happier? Well, if you look at the Serenity Prayer, the whole version of it, it says, if I surrender to His will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever and ever in the next. Dave, you're going to be talking at this, and how are you going to help people in your stuff to get to that place that we call, wherever we are, happier? What are you going to be talking about?
Well, one of the things I'm going to talk about is change your thoughts, change your life.
Yes.
And a lot of your attitude and your emotional responses to things comes out of your thought life. Mm-hmm. So getting that under control is part of it. And then the search for self-control, one of the gifts of life recovery is self-control. And it's a gift. It's not something I work at. It's something I begin to experience as I get into recovery, mm-hmm. and become more and more committed to the path of recovery. I find that I have regained an increasing degree of self-control.
Dave, an example of 12 steps to happier. I was talking to a woman who this thought kept coming into her mind. I was a terrible mother based on how my boys turned out. I said to her, I hear you. What is the most terrible thing that happened to them when they were growing up? Both of them were molested by a pastor's son of the little church that we went to. I said, you know, if I were you, I would be saying, it's so sad. It's so horrible that this horrible thing happened that we didn't predict or we didn't protect. But that was the horrible thing. Probably not your mothering. And anyway, if you'd been the best mother, you don't have a little robot. There's no 100% foolproof way to raise a child. And she said, this is so helpful to me. She started to think differently, not thinking and obsessing over herself being a crummy mom, but realizing this is a really hard world and bad stuff happens.
And one of the things that you can do is to find scriptural passages that support the new way of thinking and use the scripture as a foundation for changing the way you think.
And the other thing is quit thinking about stuff and start talking to God. In other words, rather than say, boy, I just wish I was a better dad, talk to God about it. Dear God, I was just thinking I wish I was a better dad. Could you give me the strength to be a better dad? Could you give me the courage to get into that parenting class, to get this pornography thing taken care of? God, could you help me today? What What do I need? Send, help me with, let the Holy Spirit guide me here as I seek out something new and different. That's how we turn complaining to prayer without ceasing.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us today. August the 9th is the next Every Man's Battle. You might want to pray for the women. They're in the Restore Conference, and if you've never been and you've been hurt by someone who had a sexual integrity problem, you ought to think about going. It really is pretty wonderful. Let's go to, how about we talk to Mark from Silver Spring, Maryland, listens to WAVA. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Steve and Jill and David?
Yeah,
we're all fine. Thanks for thinking of us all.
On the air. I was taking a minute trying to say, I kind of remember all these names.
You did a good job.
I just want to say thank you so much. I'm new in Christ. And I have purchased the Life Recovery Bible. And being new in Christ, I've been going on 3 years now, and I've been on five missionary trips to Haiti 3 times.
Nice.
And there's a gentleman in Haiti, when I gave my testimony, a gentleman came up to me and has come almost the same story, but, I mean, he's dealing with drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to help him in Camp Haitian and couldn't find, there's no AA meetings in Camp Haitian anywhere. It don't even come on the AA, you know, hotline number or nothing. But I had shared and told him about my Life Recovery Bible and the 12 steps to help get started. And now I go, I gave him my Bible. And I was scraping kind of ends just to buy my Bible, but you know, when he told me his story, it's like he needed it. You know,
wow.
Like I have something here to fall back on, and he doesn't. And he's in a house by himself, and his wife and child is separated in Canada, and he got deported back to Haiti, so he can't go back.
That's right.
But he's been battling with the drinking, and now that he's had the Life Recovery Bible and has gotten plugged in, he opens his home up to a lot of missionary teams that come.
Nice.
And so he has been doing wonderful. And I was so glad that I gave him, that I was there at that time. You know, God puts everybody in the right place at the right time. And to give him my Bible.
Well, that's
wonderful.
And
it didn't hurt to me to give it away. You know, like he needs it. And it's like that Bible I thought was so awesome.
Well, we'll send you a new one, of course. You being here and you being such a great...
Praise the Lord.
We'll send you a new one. We got the second edition where it tells you how to facilitate a life recovery meeting. Of course, you can call Reba at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. She helps with how to facilitate a meeting. But also some great words. My wife helped with this on why us Christians ought to be going out there and being in those secular meetings still. Because if we're not out in those meetings, where are they ever going to get that bridge back into the church? But thank you for your story. So grateful. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
No, I just want to say thank you. You know, and since I've been in back in Christ. And I'd been divorced. I thought God was kind of punishing me because I had been married twice. And I had been praying on it and wonder why it's been like almost a year and a half and God had nobody put in my life. And I've been kind of reunited with my ex-wife. And it's just like I'm like, I've been praying on it, and I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what's going on here, but
yeah.
I know he has control.
Surprise.
Which I'm so happy for, because I wasn't in Christ when I left. And now being a new man in Christ, it's just totally different picture of just life itself.
Well, I'm so glad you called. And if you guys, hold on, let's see if we can get the two of you to go to our marriage intensive, because we had some people that were divorced. They decided to get married again when they went to that. That's pretty absolutely wonderful. Let's talk with Joseph, Dallas, Texas. Joseph, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So, I am having some trouble with smoking cigarettes and fasting, and I sometimes I just feel like I'm using the excuse that I've already quit so many other things that this isn't a big deal. You know, I'm a former I was addicted to meth and porn, and I'm sexually perverse and alcoholic, you know, since I was a teenager. And now I feel like God is putting his finger on the cigarettes, and it's actually also showing me how much of a hard time I have fasting. Like, I think I have a problem with self-indulgence, and every time I go to quit cigarettes, it's like, well, you know, I'm not drinking. I'm not doing drugs. Like, I try to be grateful for that, and it's almost, I feel like, becoming an excuse to hinder me from going further and putting down these cigarette.
So what's the question for us then?
Like, where do you draw strength from for something, or how can I rationalize that it's not a little problem, or where do you draw strength from to actually fast and deny? I mean, I try to listen to other people who have quit. I go in prayer, I ask for the strength, and I don't know, I feel like I'm being pointed to, it's actually something I have to surrender. I know with like porn and drugs, like I had to change my surroundings. I stopped watching so much secular TV that had that that vibe of sexuality, the music I listened to. But cigarettes is kind of different. It's everywhere, but it's also just something that I crave.
Yeah.
Still. So
well,
it's,
look. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Supposedly nicotine is just about the most addictive chemical you could ever put in your body. So why would you think that for the most addictive chemical ever that you could do that on your own? Why would you think that?
Yeah.
So, Jill, what are your thoughts? Dave, what are you guys thinking here when you hear about he might see it as just a minor thing, or?
Well, it's not, you know, mood and mind altering like substances are, but it, you're right, Steve, it is the most addictive chemical that there is. And so your mind still thinks that you can't live without it, and your body craves it. And so you're going to have to get in some kind of smoke ending program that helps you and you know, similar to what you've already done. You're right. You've gotten off a lot, and you should feel good about that. But now here's this last vice that you have. And so you're going to have to go at that even more strongly, and there will be withdrawal that you will go through, and you'll be highly irritable.
And, yeah.
And there's a habitual part of it, the habit thing that's harder to break, because you associate different activities like a cup of coffee and a cigarette. You associate, so when you have the coffee, you're thinking, I'm really missing the cigarette. There's medical help for this, as well as smoke enders.
You can't do it
on your own, Joseph. You got to get some help with.
And there's a blood pressure medication that helps lower your desire for nicotine mm-hmm. while you're going through those withdrawal states. It just helps it. But you need support. There are a lot of things. American Lung Association, maybe even American Cancer Association. A lot of these have free smoking cessation programs there. And, you know, it can change your life because, you know, God says make your body a living sacrifice mm-hmm. to Him. And I don't think that you can love well as a Christian I'm not trying to condemn anybody that smokes because I know how hard I used to smoke. It was the hardest thing I ever had to give up because I was so addicted to it. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to love people well if they're judging you based on you're addicted to something and telling them that their life could be better and they could be free and they're looking at you and you got this cigarette thing going. So
right.
I really believe it's so damaging to every part of you and your life. If you can come to that willingness point, get the help you need, you will never regret
right.
stopping the smoking.
Well,
and
because
stopped.
You need the psychological help along with it. Because yeah. a lot of people go from cigarettes then to food, right?
Yeah,
so there's
right.
an oral mm-hmm. fixation and a need to numb out feelings.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So that's important to look at.
Really glad that you called. Let's go to, I'm going to send him Take Your Life Back. I think it'll help him. Let's talk with Mary, Plano, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hey, Mary, what's going on?
Thanks, Steve, so much for taking my call. I called a few months ago, and I had been sexually assaulted 3 times in my life by my grandfather
oh,
and then by a stranger at gunpoint.
Oh, dear.
And then a coworker a few years ago. But since then, and then my fiancé broke our engagement about 5 years ago, and I just stopped dating. But now that my kids are older, I feel I'm kind of free to date. Well, I met somebody, and I told him, you know, what my values are, no premarital sex. And he's like, well, can't we do other things? And I'm like, no, that's not God's best. You know, when he came, he lives out of town. When he came in town and we saw each other, you know, I guess my question is, I mean, we did things, but, I mean, I didn't have sex with him, but, I mean, how do I keep my values and not think that I have to do things to keep a guy? Mm-hmm. I mean,
here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. You know,
well, look, here's the thing. To keep some guys, you have to have sex with them. And it's a great thing when you realize you don't want to keep a guy that you have to have sex to keep. So it's really bad news because that's really what they want. And they don't tend to marry the women that they have sex with. That's why they're still out there dating. And so I know the dilemma. It's horrible. It's not fair. But God has called you to something greater than having sex with guys that say they have your best interest in mind, but really all they're interested in is themselves and experiencing
and their needs.
Immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Just you have to be willing, if you want to live a life that is worthy and it is fulfilled, you have to be willing to say to these guys, you're not for me. It's just not for me. And I wish, boy, do I ever wish that was different.
I know. And you'll weed out a lot of guys, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
But I always say you just need one good one.
Yeah.
And doing other things together sexually makes it harder and harder to keep the line drawn. So be careful.
And so many folks would say it was when we began to be sexually intimate, that's when we stopped growing mm-hmm. in every other way. That's when it all came crashing down to an end, and now it's just all about that. So,
right.
Man, I wish I had better news for you.
Right. So you don't want the false familiarity without a foundation,
yeah.
right? You
that's
need
right.
that emotional foundation there. It's really important.
Sorry you're going through it. Glad that you called, though. And let me send you a copy of this little book, Is This the One? I think you'll like it. It will help you. I really believe it will in finding who's right and who is not. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you'd like a copy of that, we'll get it to you. Let's go to, how about we talk with Lauren, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Great.
Listen to your show all the time, as much as I can anyway.
Thank you.
I have a problem. I'm trying to figure out how to help my now 16-year-old granddaughter, who 3 years ago when she was 13, kind of got, I guess because of her age, into the middle of a really bad argument between my oldest son and my second son and my daughter. They're all adults. They're in their 40s and 30s.
Okay.
It was just a falling out over my oldest son's new second wife. She had a lot of issues, and it was very clear to a lot of us, but, you know, we were trying to make things okay, but things went a little bad, and my 13-year-old granddaughter kind of put herself in the middle of it. We're all on a beach trip together.
Now hold on. We'll be back after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're talking with Lauren. Lauren, how you doing?
Yes. Hi. Good.
WABA, Washington, D.C. How can we help?
Yes. Well, anyway... After that big falling out with my older kids, my granddaughter, who was 13 at the time, took it upon herself after everybody got back from vacation to send a really long, terrible, it was just awful text to her uncle, my oldest son, about his new wife. And basically, she told him in the text that if he married her, she would not be his niece or goddaughter anymore. Mm. Anyway, so, I mean, we're all upset about that, and her father, you know, mother talked to her about it, but, so this split of the family lasted until about 5-6 months ago when my children reconciled. We're all going back on our regular beach trip again in a couple weeks, and my 16-year-old granddaughter has not spoken to her uncle or done anything. I don't know how to help her because I don't know what'll happen
if we go and she's there and she hasn't spoken to her uncle in 2.5 years and things well, that she said.
Well, yeah, I would sure do a little talking before
right.
everybody
did,
showed up.
Did the uncle marry the gal?
Yes, and she's coming.
Oh, okay. So there's been nothing said between them since she sent that text.
No. Why is it?
Now, my children did just reconcile about, like I said, a few months ago. So, but she won't, my granddaughter won't talk to her father about it, who's my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly don't know. I'm just concerned, and I've always tried to stay kind of neutral with my kids and my grandchildren, unless it was a dangerous thing. Let them all work out whatever, but nobody seems to be moving.
Well, can you talk to your granddaughter? I mean, I would be concerned about her and how she might feel going on this trip, having not really reconciled or even spoken to anyone. Have you gotten a sense of how she?
How she's going to feel?
Like, I would want to explore that with her, not just to see where she's at with it all.
Okay.
Because it sounds like nobody's been talking about this.
I wonder what would happen if your oldest son, the uncle that she was against, if he called her and said, look, your dad and I have made amends, and it's time for us to make amends.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's such a great idea.
See, I don't know that it's your responsibility, Lauren. You can intercede, but it's up to her dad or her uncle to kind of break the ice and hopefully.
And they're the adults, so it would be great if they would make a move.
Set the example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Let me ask you a quick question. What was her biggest complaint? What was her biggest complaint about this new wife? Her potential wife?
Well, it was apparent, and then it became a fact that she had addiction problems.
Uh-huh.
And
is she still?
My second son has been clean and sober for 40 years. Not 40, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that my granddaughter, felt that this is not a good thing. It isn't a good thing, but she knows about her father's history, and I think
it was... Did the woman take care of the addiction problem?
Pardon me?
Did the woman take care of her addiction problem that you say is so obvious, or apparent?
Well, we thought she did. We're not absolutely positive, but I can tell you that, we visit my son and her and my grandkids up there, but, and... We don't see her drinking, and we don't really have any signs that she's flipping off and doing any kind of drugs.
But you don't feel the freedom to talk to your son about it?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You don't feel the freedom to talk to your son about it? Hey, the granddaughter had all these problems about drugs, alcohol, stuff. How's that going? Is she getting any help?
You mean his wife?
Yeah.
The wife, not the granddaughter.
Yeah, not the wife.
The granddaughter had all these
had
problems.
Had an issue with the wife.
Yeah, so
the new wife.
Did she get any help?
My granddaughter had an issue with her uncle marrying.
Yeah, so the new aunt.
So I'm saying, do you not feel okay of saying to him about all that stuff that was such a big problem? Was it true? Has she done anything? We were all concerned. Do you not feel like having that conversation?
With your oldest son.
Well, I'm actually not because, I basically cried for 2.5 years.
Well, but it sounds...
It's reconciliation.
Yeah, and that's so painful when your children are fighting. But it sounds to me like people don't talk in your family. And so a 13-year-old spoke, very strongly, as kids can do, and kind of said what everybody else wasn't saying.
Well, I think she must really be struggling. I would.
She
I
is.
Mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And she's sensitive.
Horrible.
She's ever owned.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. So.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know if I should put myself into that because, like I said.
All right. We'll give you a final thought here when we come back.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Jill, you're going to help us kind of wrap this up.
Okay, so Lauren, I have to tell you, it sounds like your family doesn't really talk, or that people walk on eggshells, and that kind of your method of healing is enough time passes, and then, you know, people have calmed down, and so then they apologize. But I think, you know, it's you know, often we hear things from kids who, you know, don't have the same defenses that adults have. And what she called at 13 had some merit. And so I think to put everybody together again when there's been no talking is really, it could be a disastrous situation. So I would want to be knowing how my granddaughter was doing. I would be concerned. And I think you need to have some of those difficult conversations. Maybe talk to her dad. Do you, you know, and everybody start talking about this a little bit, because it's kind of like, okay, what has really changed other than the adults eventually said they were sorry? What has changed? And I think even though maybe she came at it really strongly, you know, she's had 3 years to reflect on it. How is she feeling now? And I think some people need to validate what she was saying. So I would want to have some conversations before I went on a beach family vacation.
Mm-hmm. I sure would,
too. It's going to be a tense trip.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to send
and it's
how
fake.
We look.
It's fake if you don't talk. And what are you modeling? We're just all fake?
I'm going to send how we love, and I'm going to hope that she gains some insight here. But not talking, rarely ever, especially after a 13-year-old has been the one who to say the emperor has
no clothes.
Yeah, just a perfect example of that. Speaking of no clothes, Larry always is well-dressed, and I'm thankful for that, Larry. And so you're in the studio, and let's talk about what we need here at New Life,
right,
and folks that support us so, so well.
Well, I want to thank everybody who's been giving to the matching fund. We still have a little bit to go, a little bit. This is a recorded program, so I'm estimating we still need between $40,000 and $45,000 to close up the matching gift. It could be more or less. Maybe somebody will pop up with a nice gift and we finish it off. But we need your help. If you could make a gift to the matching fund, it started at $324,000. That was a big step for New Life to put that out. And you folks are responding, and thank you. And we just need to see it across the finish line. Every gift you give up to that amount will be doubled. $5 is 10, 20 is 40, 100 is 200. Do the math. It's really easy. And if you could make a gift, thank you. Thank you so much. The a brief testimony from a recent Everyman's Battle workshop, Steve.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
This is what you're supporting when you support New Life. I came to Everyman's Battle carrying in nearly 30 years of sexual integrity issues and lies from the enemy. I'm walking out free to glorify God, free to serve others, free to redeem the time ahead. There's a path to freedom and redemption. I am not alone, and I cannot do this by myself. The connections built here are life-changing. I just love that. Life-changing, not just for him, for his family, for his friends, for his coworkers, and for generations to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I just had a person ask me, what about folks that, you know, everything, they're just instantly healed from whatever it is that they were struggling with? And I say, look, nobody is instantly healed into Christian maturity and growth, mm-hmm, and character, and you still need a program, and you still need the help of other persons. So when you support us, you are supporting people getting true help, not just some short-term quick fix that doesn't fix anything. And so thank you, all of you who are doing whatever you can to be sure this ministry is there when people come up against some of the toughest problems life has to offer. It really is making a difference, Larry, and I appreciate all that you do to help people help us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What do they get if they send us a gift of any amount? We send them, what, John's new book, People Fuel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us help others, we really do need your help. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Barbara, New Carlton, Maryland, WAVA, also the station there. Hi there, how you doing? What's going on today?
Hi there. Well, I wanted to find out, I have a family member who seems to be really stuck in the past, really doing a lot of blaming of his mother, mm-hmm, just really blaming and just really harping, mm, stuck.
Blaming her for what? What's she blaming her mother? What's the mother being blamed for?
Well, it's a he. She's being blamed for making decisions that apparently financially harmed him.
Okay.
Now, she made a decision. He did not counter it and say, no, I have so much to lose. Mm-hmm. He just went along with the decision. But now that it's, you know, 4 years later, mm-hmm, just seems to be blaming her for that decision, not seeing that he was part of that decision. Mm-hmm.
So not taking any responsibility.
Not taking any responsibility. I see him slowly beginning to put his life back together, but all I keep hearing is the blaming, and always just talking about the past.
How old is he?
I don't know. He is in his 40s.
Okay.
And here's the question. Do you think that what she did, that he didn't stop, was irresponsible, or was she just trying to do her best?
She was trying to do her best.
Okay. So it could have worked out then, right?
Well, I mean, she could have left him and not do anything to help him. or right. But she stepped in to help because she heard so many complaints about him. No one really wanted to help him. She mm-hmm. stepped in thinking that she was doing what was best for him, and now it turns out that he blames her for stepping mm-hmm. in.
Yeah, you know, when things don't work out, especially financially, you know, you got to ask yourself, did they do their best? Because the best intentions sometimes don't work out. You have the right idea at the wrong time, or the wrong idea at the right time. And you just, it's not a guarantee that you go into life and everybody's going to be successful. It's all going to work out. So, what, you know, I said it either on this program or the one before, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. You can help him grieve the loss of that money and accept the reality that she was doing her best and he didn't stop it. And then he can grow up and be an adult rather than be a baby screaming in his crib that mommy didn't take care of him the way she should. How old is he now?
40s.
He's in his 40s.
It's time that he get out of that crib.
This was 4 years ago, right?
Don't you think it's time he get out of that crib? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So my question is, how do I broach that subject? Because every time I go in that direction to say those things, mm-hmm. he shuts the conversation down, he gets mad, and he walks away.
So he's invested in keeping her at fault because then he doesn't have to look at himself.
That's his lifestyle.
Here's right. what I'd say. Yeah. I'd say, you know, I know you don't like to talk about this. You say, I know you don't like to talk about this. But I heard a man say that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And I was thinking about you and your mom and the financial thing, and I just really believe that as tough as it is, that that's probably true for you, that when you can finally go from being upset to accepting that it happened and it can't be undone, you'll probably experience some freedom and life will get better for you. That might be one way. You heard a man talk about it. And you want him. You want the best for him. So I'm taking a risk talking to you about it. I know it's uncomfortable, but I want you to be free. Well, and I want you to be able to function.
The alternative is to say to him, as he's complaining, say, oh, get over it and get a life for a change.
Yeah.
That's what you feel like saying.
I don't know about that.
Okay, what does he? What does he envision? What of the outcome if she had not stepped in? She stepped in where nobody else would.
Yeah, I think too.
And when I asked that question, he said he would have found a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a genius looking back now, but mm-hmm. he was in trouble. So I don't know that there is something that could help him. I'm going to send you this book, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. Just maybe. And then we'll send Forgiving Our Fathers and Mother. Maybe he would read it and see that is his path to freedom. We'll be back after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools
to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us here. And let me remind everybody, we've got great, great workshops coming up, not the least of which is our 12-step conference in October, and that is entitled 12 Steps to Happier. We're doing that on the 5th in Irvine. Intimacy in Marriage is the 25th. Finding Freedom, September 20th. Whatever it is, we can help you get free from that. I wish this young man, 45 or however old, would come. And then Restore, Hope for a Woman's Heart, is November the 15th. These things really make a difference. But maybe you just need a counselor. We've got those all over. How about giving us a call and letting us find one for you? Let's talk to Jacob, Livingston, Louisiana, watches us on YouTube. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Yes, sir. It's done affected my marriage and stuff. My parents keeps on. I am 40, and my parents keeps on butting into my marriage, and it's done affected my marriage. They still treat me like I'm a 4-year-old. How really? Can I deal with that? Where I can actually restore my marriage with my wife? About a month or so ago, or a little bit longer, some people showed up at my mom and them's house, and I told my mom and them just leave it alone, stay out of it. That they knew my wife and stuff, and my mama, she just invites them in inside her house, and I know I cannot say nothing to my mama about inviting people into her house. That's her house. Mm-hmm. But how can I get them where they will actually treat me like an adult instead of a 4-year-old and stuff?
Mm. Well, that's got to be tough. Mm-hmm. Dave, what are you thinking about this when you hear this? That's really tough to be treated that way by a mom.
That's a mom who can't stop mothering.
It's not only my mama. It's my daddy, too, and my not as much my sisters no more. It's mostly my mom and daddy.
Okay.
And you're the only child that they're doing that to? They're doing to any of the other children? Adults?
They kind of don't do it as much to my middle sister as much as my oldest one. And it's kind of like if me and my oldest sister don't wait on them hand and foot, or don't back down to their beck and call. Mm. They go to
then you're like, bad, and they gotta fix you.
Yes, sir.
One about the only thing you can do, Jacob, is to ignore it, at least at a starting point, and to really work on your relationship with your wife and letting her know that they can try and they can do whatever they want, but it's not going to work because your priority is your wife. And making your wife your priority is going to make a big difference. And what happens with your parents is they kind of suck you into making them their your priority. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you got to take care of them and all that. And parents, there's some parents who do that, and that's probably what their parents did to them.
Yep. And what would your wife say is the biggest complaint she has about you? If we were talking with her, what do you think she would say?
The biggest complaint that my wife probably would say would be my parents always wanting me down there all the time.
Well, then you're gonna have to tell your wife, I am so sorry that I made my parents a priority over you, and I'm starting to see that I don't have to respond to them whenever they ask me for something. And if you ever would give me the chance to make it up to you, I'm not going to be that same guy anymore. I thought that's how you honor your parents, but the way you honor parents is to be something they can't even help you become, and then you're honorable. So I'd let her know you're not going to fall into the trap anymore.
Yes. Well,
and so...
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay.
You were first.
Okay, sure. So, Jacob, you sound like somebody who is very respectful of others, and so you've given your parents this respect. And it's hard to, you know, when parents still demand that, it is hard to transition out of it. But I think in order to save your marriage, you're going to have to learn how to say no to your parents. If they're treating you like a four-year-old, then you want to make sure you're not acting like a four-year-old.
Yeah,
right? True. Because your wife needs to see you as somebody who has kind of, you know, the whole leaving and cleaving, that parents, you know, need to hear no. And she needs to, through your actions, be put first. So that doesn't mean you're dishonoring of your parents. It just means that their place is no longer in that number one spot. And so you might have to also examine, what are you afraid of if you aren't at your parents' beck and call?
I've been with my parents since I was... I don't know what I'm...
Well, let me say this because we're out of time now.
Yes.
But, you know, the Bible's so clear that when we marry, we leave the parents and we cleave to the person that we marry. And I think it's there because it doesn't come naturally. And there are folks that don't naturally help us do that. And so maybe if you could just start to work on that leaving part, leaving emotionally and spiritually, that would be something that your wife would respond to. You are not married to your parents. You are married to a woman. And she deserves to have first place in your life, not your mother and not your father.
And I would also get a mentor who's a man that you could talk to about this. Mm. Someone that could help you in that, because it's
an older man.
Yeah, an older man.
Yeah,
that could
be
a mentor.
That would be so great.
Like a pastor or someone in your church.
Okay, really glad that you called. And you know, Jill, we see this all the time of somebody operating as if they love somebody, but it's not love; it's control and domination.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta see that in ourselves and stop it.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and it's hard. Part of growing up is that new boundary lines are drawn, and that can be uncomfortable, and it doesn't mean you don't love your parents and you don't, you know, you aren't with them, but there's a realigning of the hierarchy.
Yes, that's the leaving and cleaving, and sometimes you've got people holding on to you so you can't leave.
Right.
And you just gotta leave.
One of the great joys of all of our lives here is getting to work with people from all over the country who, you know, maybe you don't have somebody in your area that can help. Maybe you're afraid that somebody's going to find out about you, and so you don't want to go to someone locally. We have counselors everywhere. We have workshops that are in different parts of the country. If you'll just call us, we'll try to help you overcome whatever the reluctance is to doing what you need to do. The number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Love you guys. We'll see you next time right here on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.